Hello, and welcome to the live Total Retail webinar, How to Use Site Search to Boost Conversion Rates. Today's webinar is sponsored by SwiftType, a hosted search solution that lets site owners deliver powerful, customizable search for their website or mobile app with just a few lines of code. I'm Joe Keenan, Executive Editor of Total Retail and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. If you missed the Tech Tips video we played leading up to the webinar, you can always click this widget for more information. Here today to discuss how retailers can best leverage site search to drive purchases, we have Kevin Lee, CEO of DidIt, a digital marketing agency that specializes in search marketing, as well as Anton Kramov, founder and CEO of UPS Battery Center, an online retailer of sealed lead-acid batteries. Anton specializes in e-commerce and online marketplaces. With that, I'd like to pass it over to Kevin to get things started.
Great. Thanks so much, Joe. Obviously, search is really important from a marketing perspective, but interestingly, it's just as important on the site side. So I wanted to provide a little bit of a foundation for Anton's comments coming up soon. As far as me and my bio, I really just hit on the highlights. I've been running DidIt since 1996. So I've been doing SEO and SEM for a long time, developed Maestro technology, written a lot of books, columns, et cetera. I also run We Care and Sweeps for a Cause as sort of a side project, so it's sort of something that's fun. But let's dive directly into the content at this point. The power of search is demonstrated by Google, Bing, and Yahoo's revenues, which are in the billions. That revenue comes from the fact that search it hits consumers in a really good time frame when they're searching for information. They're much more open to marketing and communication messages. And while we think about that as happening in what they call the search engine results page or the SERP, the reality is that power of search is just as strong on a site-side search. And people are so used to using search boxes that when they see one, they like to use it as a navigational tool. They like to use it as a navigational element. And that's made site-side search increasingly important for all different kinds of businesses, but certainly e-commerce counts in there as a particularly important category. So I did a bunch of research into different studies to try to really get a grasp of how important site-side search was. And I saw a variety of different metrics in different studies, but one thing was clear, that if you look at the percentage of people who, once they reach a particular site, are choosing to navigate via search, it's a really high percentage. I saw numbers anywhere from high 20s in the percentage all the way up to over 50%, depending on the study that was done and the site that was used for the study or the sites that were used for the study. So I found that really fascinating data, and it really underscores the importance of having a flexible, powerful, accurate search engine results page on your site, in particular one that you can control. So, a sort of adjunct of search is also breadcrumb navigation, which is a little bit sort of text link search related and a little bit search related, because it helps suggest additional keywords or modifiers to people as they get to your site and they move around your site. But I think, most people are sort of too lazy to figure out breadcrumbs. They're nice to have. A lot of e-commerce platforms have the breadcrumb-style navigation. Sometimes it's very heavily highlighted. In other cases, it's not as important due to their categories and the schemas of their various SKUs or products. But certainly search, one thing that was unanimous across all the studies was consumers like to search. So I'd venture a guess that all of you, if you think about what you do when you go to one of the Goliaths in the space, like an Amazon or eBay, which are sort of really like commerce search engines, all the way down to smaller retailers. You probably find yourself engaging in site-side search pretty regularly, especially if you have a good user experience as a result. So I tried to create a bit of a framework that will help us think about site search both strategically and tactically. And so I decided to sort of use this construct of, you know, who, what, why, and where with regards to how to think about site-side search. So, you know, let's look at who. It's really useful to put the audience first when you think about site-side search, because that's what Google, Bing, and Yahoo have done on their side, right? They want to keep the consumer happy or the site visitor happy. If the site visitor becomes unhappy, they're going to engage in the behavior you want least, which is either the back button or they're going to abandon you and not use you again. So you need to balance the needs of you as the marketer with the needs of the consumer and really potentially put the consumer's needs first. And if they're searching for information, product information, reviews, et cetera, some important part of your site, and I'll think about who the audience is and then think about, you know, the extent to which your current site search, if you have it in place, delivers, you know, accuracy, relevant suggestions, whether you have the ability to control search ranking to some extent, you know, is it well integrated into your e-commerce platform? And I think part of the reason that, you know, ability to control the search ranking to some extent is important, as opposed to just relying on a search engine that pulls information out of your back-end database or out of your e-commerce platform, is that as a business owner, as a marketer, you know a lot more about popularity of products than would ordinarily be available to a back-end search engine. Plus, you know your profit margins or your, you know, if there's particular price sensitivity in a particular area for a specific product. So you want to merchandise your own internal search engine results page in a way that really finds that perfect balance between what the consumer wants and what you want as a marketer and as a business owner. So with regards to mobile, right, the screen real estate is even less. And depending on the industry category that you're in and the kinds of things you're selling or the kinds of content you have, in the case of a non-e-commerce publishing site, you know, you don't have a lot of screen size available. So search behavior will probably be different on a mobile device, but think about search not just from the context of desktop, because we all tend to be working on our sites and working on our user experience on a desktop or laptop, so we think about that first. For some sites, you know, mobile could be as important, if not more important, than desktop. So, you know, think about your search engine results page strategy for mobile and whether you actually have some changes you might want to make in your designs, in the way you rank things, given the mobile device user experience. It's also really useful to think about the different kinds of audiences that could be on your site, because we always think about customers, right? We always think about the customer first. But the reality is that prospects and customers are really just the tip of the iceberg for a lot of sites, because some of them have channels of distribution, right? So they could have distributors. Some of them, you know, have a really big employee base that are using the site as their knowledge base, you know, when they're talking to customers. And so employees will be sometimes using your internal site search and your site in general as a way to help them do their job, whether it's a sales role or whether it's a customer support role. Obviously, for some businesses, press and investors are important, but it's useful to think about those different categories of audiences and the extent to which, you know, you may want to take all of their potential needs into account as you design your search engine results page and give people a great user experience and make the most money, get the highest conversion rates, obviously, which is great too. So, you know, I found a study by NN Group that actually identified certain personas of shoppers, right? Again, this is e-commerce focused, but different kinds of shoppers expect different kinds of information. And often that's used pretty effectively in site design by creating different tabs on products that appeal to different kinds of shoppers. You know, some of people love to look at reviews. Some people are all about price. Some people love to dig down deep at the specifications. And obviously it's hard to cram all of that into, you know, a single page in many cases. So it's pretty typical that e-commerce platforms will use things like tabs. But that same information and knowing that there are different kinds of shoppers may impact how you design your search engine results page as well. So once you know who matters most to you, which kind of shopper is most typical for your site, then you can design a SERP around them, because you can't get them to self-identify and say, I'm a bargain hunter in most cases, although perhaps you can, but it's probably more difficult to get them to self-identify as a shopper type. But you should think about which shopper type probably resonates against your target audience, and that's really useful. You know, what you want to avoid, obviously, is the dreaded back button, right? If you get to a landing page and they hit the back button, you missed out, right? Part of what can make a landing page sticky is a prominent search box that looks like it's going to be really useful in meeting the needs of that particular person who got to your site, either as a result of paid media, social media, either paid or earned, or organic SEO, right? They may have come in through a lot of different conduits, but the one thing you do want to minimize is that back button, because the bounce rate on your landing pages, you know, getting that down increases the odds that they're going to do something that is positive. And that can be a sale, but it's not exclusively a sale. Maybe you want to get their email address so you can contact the visitor later. Maybe you want to get them to make a phone call and call you. But the one thing you don't want to have them do is just hit the back button and give you no opportunity to meet their needs. You want to, and so think about search from that perspective. How do you use search to get them excited about what they're going to find on your site and get them to dig deeper? Because the deeper they dig, the less likely they are to hit the back button. You know, just the same way that in search engine side keywords, there's probably going to be some kind of a power curve. And so these people call this the long tail, the power curve, the 80-20 rule or 90-10 rule. Think about that as you sort of work through designing your search engine results page too. So you know the most popular products. You know the most popular categories on your site. You know the most popular brands if you carry multiple brands of a particular product that meets a specific need. So whether, for example, you know, Anton will let us know whether or not he carries the same battery both in the original manufacturer and, you know, his own, or if he only always carries his own. But that would be useful to know from the perspective of designing your sort of key phrase strategy and the way you merchandise the results based on where the people are. You know, obviously, if you're going to custom editorialize keywords, you know, go to the ones that are most popular first and work your way down, because, you know, if it's a really esoteric search and it's way out in the tail, you know, spending a whole lot of time and energy customizing the user experience probably isn't your, you know, your best use of your time. So internal site-side search engines also are a great source of data, right? With the search engines moving towards keyword not provided, where you can't get the data out of your web analytics and the webmaster tools data is not as rich as it was when you used to be able to get it out of analytics, can site-side search data replace that sort of data vacuum? In a lot of cases, it can. Right now, it's obviously a different audience than purely the people who got to your site as a result of paid or SEO search traffic. But people who are on your site exhibiting very similar search behavior to the site, to the search behavior they would have exhibited outside your site. So it can be a really useful SEO and PPC planning tool to have good reporting on what's happening within your internal site search. If your internal search in your results page is inferior, then you need to think about what you can do to make it better. And that may be a little bit complicated because sometimes the search keyword data that you're looking at indicates that people are searching for things that you don't actually have a solution for yet, right? So maybe there are ways for you to think about using it almost like market research for the, with respect to people who came to your site expecting to solve a problem. Make sure you solve that person's problem because that means you'll have revenue associated with it. Think about all the different kinds of information you have about specific products and that might lend themselves to being included in your search, including potentially pages which are not actually about a specific product, right? So maybe you have pages on your site that are actually very informative and are very useful to people who are still in the research stage and are trying to decide between, different battery amperages or, different ways of putting batteries in ways that they're less likely to fail or whatever. If you've got this kind of rich data, think about where that fits into your site-side search strategy. Think beyond the products, right? So what else do you have? What other information do you have that maybe belongs in your internal search engine results page, and experiment with it, right? Determine what the right mix is. If it's 98% product focused, great. So that's all you really need in your SERP. It may be that given the complexity of the buying decision for some of the products that you sell or the way people are digging through your content, you may even have a different mix. So think about really managing that mix and experimenting with that mix. And, different personas have a buyer's journey, right? The funnel may be dead, but it's not entirely dead. People in different industry categories make, decisions in different ways. Some people are, know exactly what they want when they get to your site. They just blew out, I guess, a battery in the case of Anton's site, and it's failing, and they need a new one right away. And so they know exactly what they need. Other people may be at a different stage. So think about that person's journey and the way in which you might want to create a user experience that, has lots of content type tuned to where they are in that cycle, right? So, again, if you think 95% of the people are really already in the decision stage at the time that they arrive at your site, then you can focus on giving them the best user experience. But they may not all be there, so you may want to think about where they are and to the extent to which you can guess where they are. So having a great side search engine results page is good in so many different ways, right? I mean, you have the control to guide that visitor's behavior, right? But you do it in such a way that they're used to it and they'll trust it unless your results are really horrible. If your results are bad, you got to get your results better. But if your results are good, you can really improve cross-sell and upsell. You can, leverage this idea of SearchScent, which is a Xerox Park Laboratory came up with this concept of SearchScent, which is that when people engage in putting in a search term, they expect to see that information on their landing page, right? So they expect to see some kind of a payoff on that promise that when I get to this landing page, the thing I searched on, the landing page should really be about that. So there's lots of behaviors that visitors could engage in. E-commerce retailers tend to focus a lot on the order, right? But in certain high consideration or very tech-centric sales cycles, it's actually a purchasing agent who's online or an engineer online who actually has to send something to a purchasing agent and specify a product because they don't actually have decision-making authority, right? And so think about the extent to which you want to tune the search engine results page to that, and think about on the actual landing pages how you allocate the call to action on that page. So do you want to get them just have an add to cart? Do you want to get them to call your toll-free number? Do you want to get them to actually fill out a form or even site-side chat, right? And then what's the carrot to get these people off of their butts in order to, you know, contact you now? Because if they don't contact you now in some way or leave you a way to contact them in the future with, you know, an email address registration, et cetera, you may not get that opportunity again. So prioritizing is a huge thing in paid search, in SEO, in social media marketing. Similarly, prioritization of what you're going to do every day when you're tuning site-side search is the same way. So I generally like to advise, you know, my teams when they're doing marketing-based search engine marketing on the outside for Google, Yahoo, Bing, et cetera, is to really, you know, do a top-down approach. So if you have an idea of query search volume by keyword or most popular product, you know, use that to help guide your, you know, guide your ranking. You know, if you can't achieve a good user experience for them because you don't have a specific product, you may have to skip that, right? So it may take you a while to go and figure out how to create content about products that you don't currently carry, for example. You know, the value of success. So do you have high margin products versus low margin products? That should guide you in deciding how you craft your search engine results page, timeliness, et cetera. So that's it for me. Obviously, there are a lot of best practices around search. You know, what's interesting is on the site-side search, some of the best educational materials about site-side search come from the vendors of site-side search. So, you know, obviously, SwiftType is one that you should look at first because they've got a great product. But, you know, they've got great research. They've got great case studies. They can help you experiment. They can help you, you know, roll out a site-side search experience that's really going to work for you. So that's basically it for me. So I'll pass the baton to Anton at this point.
Thank you, Kevin. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. Just get started. I won't spend too much time on the introduction. We sell batteries. We've been selling for a while. Our business was mostly a paper business based on purchase orders and faxes, and you know, it still is to a large extent. We started using Magento a few years back, and we started off with 100 products, so search was never really an issue for us. We never even thought about it. We're really late to the game with search. With 100 products, the site was manageable. You know, we knew where all the products were. We remembered most of the URLs. As we started growing the site, we started adding products, at one point even up to 12,000 products. It became unmanageable. The native Magento search that we had with our platform was completely useless. It couldn't help us because a lot of our products have the same characteristics and have very small variations. So the native search was just unable to pick that up. And we were kind of shocked because we never paid attention to search, and really we didn't think it mattered. We figured if somebody finds it through Google, great. If they're on our site, they'll know where to go or the product should work. Sort of like when you buy a car. I mean, you buy the car. Shouldn't the thing drive and turn and, you know, air conditioning work? Why should we have to fix the search? So once we had 12,000 products, we really ran into a big problem where we started having to manually find things on the site. I mean, it was a disaster. The amount of phone calls, emails, it was outrageous. I mean, hundreds of phone calls a day. Nobody could find what they were looking for. So never mind the e-commerce transaction, the actual, you know, conversion rate on the site, our purchase orders and everything else people were speccing on our site, that started falling apart because they could no longer find it. So what we started doing is, you know, we really didn't expect this. So the first thing we started doing was sort of manually forcing results through Magento's native redirection capability. The problem is that with 12,000 URLs, it was just impossible. I mean, we had a few people do it, but even that wasn't perfect. So you redirect to one product, but the customer really needed another. You know, and we were really stubborn. We really refused to acknowledge the fact that there was a problem, that search was important to us. At some point, we even used cheat sheets. We had a notepad open with different URLs, so when a customer would call, we'd know, you know, to copy and paste where to find that product. Some customers even developed a Google Advanced Search algorithm for us, sent us a link and said, here's how we find products on your site. So we knew it was a real problem at that point. It was really unmanageable. You know, even if we tried to correct Magento search, it was not working. With 12,000 products, there was no way to continue the work we were doing. So Having said that, we at that point we did what everybody else would do. We started looking for solutions, and you know, we're using Magento, so we started looking around the Magento marketplace. We tried all sorts of different plugins. I bought, probably 10, maybe 20 plugins, and just installed them all one after the other. And what we realized very quickly was that a lot of the plugins were either designed for very small shops with 100 products or had very little functionality. So, you know, it was very similar to Magento search. It had a different user interface, but nothing that made any difference to us in what we were doing. So some crashed the site, they slowed it down, and they required a lot of management. When I say management, I mean programming and fixing and troubleshooting. And we're not super technical. We're not programmers. We have two developers we work with. But that became a real problem for us, especially since some of the search worked, and then 3 days later the site would crash. We wouldn't find out about it for 2 days until customers would send angry emails and hateful phone calls. So we needed a solution. So, you know, some solutions we even found were a little bit too expensive. We found one company that offered a solution. I think it was 10 grand upfront fees and then an annual fee of 5,000. For a small company, that was unsustainable for us. So we came across SwiftType. We installed it. It worked. I mean, it worked right out of the box. There wasn't any programming for us to do. We were anticipating the end of the world, but it just worked. It was fast. It just, you know, like a miracle. It just worked. So once we installed SwiftType, we started realizing that search actually matters. And Kevin touched on that a lot. But we were so stubborn to that. We just refused to acknowledge the fact that search matters. We started seeing results practically the next day. The amount of phone calls dropped significantly. The phone didn't ring, which was a little bit concerning to us. We didn't understand why, but once we started seeing the conversions and how customers were finding the product, coming to the site, whether it was from Google or from Google directly to our homepage or to a product page, they were able to navigate and find the product. So the little variations between our products, SwiftType was able to sort out very easily and to display the results. So conversion rates increased a lot. The revenue obviously increased. The amount of phone calls decreased, and emails, also emails from clients, decreased a lot. And the emails were, you know, very simple emails, but they still took a lot of time, which for a small company allowed us to focus on the important stuff, purchase orders, quotes, and bigger projects. The other thing is, although the results on our site were dramatic, the results in our paper orders were even bigger and better, because now the purchasers who were looking and speccing products on our site were able to find the products, fill in their purchase order paperwork, and send it out. So even on our fax, the POs were much more complete, required a lot less follow-up. So, you know, this fascinated us, because we completely refused to acknowledge that this actually existed. We figured everything would work out on its own. But these results woke us up. We stopped everything, and we wanted to make sure that we address what's going on here and understand why this made such a huge difference. So, because the results were astronomical for us and pretty immediate. So one very important thing that we started noticing is that people are searching for things and things that we didn't expect. Magento by itself offered some sort of functionality where you could see what people are searching for, but it wasn't friendly. We were not very technical, so we couldn't really use a lot of that information. Some stuff was obvious, so we could do it. But when we installed SwiftType, we started getting reports. So we started understanding people are searching for things. There's things they're looking for that we just didn't expect. Then a really good idea came to us saying, why don't we try and figure out which products people are looking for without having to buy them? Usually the way we would have done this is you buy a small lot of product in a particular market or a particular type of product, and you test it out. You lose a little money. You may make a little money. But you sort of understand if it sells. If it doesn't sell, you can always clear it out, liquidate it. So with this, we're able to create landing pages for products in different categories that relate to our industry to see what exactly is it that happens when searchers come in. Some of the products that we didn't have, some of the products we've never seen before, some products we did have, and we started seeing that the traffic come in, the organic traffic. And what that sort of meant to us was, to give an example, for example, camping lights. We were selling batteries for camping lights. So when we noticed people coming to the site through Google, through our site, looking for lantern lights, lantern batteries, we couldn't understand. We said, what in the world is a lantern? Why are they doing this? So it gave us a really good heads up into how is the customer thinking about the product. If they came all the way from Google search to our site and ended up using our search box, they must really want this product. They're probably ready to buy. And that commitment and dedication from the customer is really meaningful, and it's really hard to get to. So we started creating landing pages. We started adding products. we start seeing what comes back. We've obviously, a lot of the products were complete failures. We realized nobody wants them, that the price was too high. But a lot of the products were really good, and we got a few winners from there. So we kept those, we kept developing that. And again, all everything is basically just by reading our search results. Kevin touched on that. Understanding how the client's looking at it, how are they searching it? We were always very technical. We thought a customer would want the battery specifically by amp hours, capacity, terminal type, discharge rates. That's just how I imagined it. That's how we've always done it. But the reality was completely different, and you know, we ignored this reality for a very long time. The problem is that even, you know, the good thing actually is that even if the customer came to the site, looked for product, didn't find it, pressed the bad button, and left, we knew they left a trail. We understood what it was that we're looking for. So over time, we started adding different products according to those results to see what would sell, and that brought in some good revenue for us. One more point before I move on from here is that some products we discovered through our own analytics based of search are products that are suitable for other marketplaces. So perhaps our site wasn't the best for it, didn't have enough traffic, didn't have enough customers, but other marketplaces, they definitely do. So that was a really big thing that we discovered with our analytics. So the analytics that search provides are obviously amazing, and you know, we are all probably familiar with Google Webmaster Tool and Google Analytics. That's always provided some information, but it wasn't very specific. So when a customer actually searches on your own site, they've come all the way to your site and they're searching in your search bar. They really want something, and there's a lot to be said there. How are they thinking about the product? And as I mentioned earlier, we realized that people weren't technical. They just searched differently than how we even advertised, how we displayed the product, and what we thought were the selling features. We thought quick snap terminals were very important to customers. I mean, it's quick snap. I mean, everybody wants that. Quickly, we realized that nobody knows what a quick snap is, nobody cares, and nobody wants to buy it. So, all this effort that we spent on that was kind of useless, but having understood that finally made a huge difference to us. Seeing what the top searches were, what are people searching for, and is it seasonal, is it not? So top searches are pretty easy because you understand what they're looking for, and if you have the product, it's pretty straightforward. You can modify it, you can adjust it, you can sort of promote the better stuff, put it on the front page, and do all sorts of cool stuff with it to encourage the sales. The more important part for me, the more interesting side, was the no results. A customer found the site through Google but couldn't find what they were looking for. I mean, imagine they didn't find it on Google. They came to your site, now they're so desperate they're actually looking on your site where they know you don't carry this product. So there's a huge amount of data there that's usable. And, I mean, to us that was really wonderful because we got the ability to test products. We discovered new products. We also discovered, as an example, there was a specific product a few years back that on the actual product, the battery, the G looked like a 6. And, you know, we never sold it as a 6. We always sold the G because that's the actual part number. But when we started seeing in our SwiftTypes weekly reports, we started seeing that people are looking for this part number with the number 6 in front, which we didn't understand at first. But once we understood that, we were able to offer them that product, the exact product they were looking for, with the 6 in front instead of the letter G. So, you know, the customer's very happy. They got what they were looking for, and that was really helpful to them. Of course, there's other products that we found as well. And, again, we found a lot of products that were suitable for other marketplaces. So if we go back to what I originally said, in regards to the results we saw from understanding search, yeah, that was wonderful for the site, but the results we were able to achieve in other marketplaces, again, such as eBay and Amazon, Newegg, were huge as well, and probably bigger than the results we were able to achieve in our site because those sites have a lot of commerce traffic. People are buying stuff there a lot more. And, again, we were able to see through our analytics, we were able to see what is it that they're looking for, who's the kind of customer. Another good thing is, through our analytics, we're able to find customers that we didn't want and products that we didn't want to sell. We saw some volume, so we started looking into it, saying, what is this product? How much is it selling for? How much can we buy it for? Can we make money there? And we quickly realized while doing research is that certain products we just don't want to have. We don't want to have that customer. They need a specific kind of business, a competitor, or somebody who's more suitable for that market. And that was important. So then we were able to remove some products that led the people to our site. We didn't want anything to do with it. For us, it was a lot of technical support. That's not our expertise to help with those kind of projects for people. So we removed those as well. So wealth of knowledge comes from those reports. Definitely the analytics, I mean, something that really you can have a full-time person just reading that, understanding it, adjusting it. And you can also play into the seasonal part. If you know, for us, We know the lantern batteries sell very well in the summertime. We can always promote them to the top in the search results. Somebody types in the word lantern, we know which ones are the most common lantern batteries. We can always put those at the top, and that makes the whole process much easier for the customers. The way they perceive it, the way they see it, the funnel, it's right there. They know it. They recognize it. They have it on their desk. They're looking at it. They can buy it much easier. So, and again, you know, finding products for bigger marketplaces is also a huge thing for us. So definitely a lot of learning there, a lot of learning that can be done from the results. Customizing the results is also a fantastic feature. Again, it's a shock to us because we never thought that search results really mattered that much. We thought the customer would come to the site, find the product, buy it, and move on. But the ability to customize the results to show the customer and help them makes a huge difference in the conversion rate. It's massive, astronomical difference. Reason being is that a lot of times the customers, especially in our industry, don't necessarily know what it is that they're looking for. They know they need a camping light or a lantern battery. They don't know the type. They don't know anything. So by being able to rearrange the results on specific product categories, we're able to, again, make the transaction smoother, faster, easier. That's one thing. Another very important thing is selling premium products. A lot of times customers don't realize that there's a better product that can help them and give them much better a better experience than what they originally had. In the case of a battery, for example, that could be longer run times, bigger size, so less recharging, can work much longer. A camping light with a bigger battery can last two camping trips instead of one. So by being able to rearrange our search results, the displayed search results, we're able to show them those products. Also, premium products, which are wonderful, because a lot of customers who want to invest a little more are able to see those. Obviously, if you have products to liquidate or if you want to clear something out, you're able to move that to the top as well. And again, that naturally wouldn't happen. There's just no way for it to organically get there. It just doesn't happen. So this way you're able to promote it. And again, on 12,000 products, it's not possible for us to do it on all of them. We don't have enough staff to do it. But in the specific product that we understand, that we know very well, that gives us a lot of sales, that are breadwinners for us, we can push those to the top. Very important also about leading products. I mentioned earlier about certain products that just don't do well for us. We find that the return rate is high or the technical support hours are extensive. It's very expensive. So for the product we sell, the amount of money we make, the amount of technical support required just outweighs that. So we are able to remove that from the search results and maybe move a customer to a more profitable item, show them a different result, somehow redirect them, sort of pave the way for them to find the product they're looking for and how they want to do the transaction. So that definitely rearranging results helps a lot. SwiftType, obviously, it's very, very easy. I mean, it's drag and drop. We're not very technical, so that to me is a lifesaver. And deleting irrelevant products is huge. So, all that stuff, I mean, it's definitely a field of its own. And again, we never appreciated it at the time, but it's a huge field. There's a lot to learn there. And the best part is that looking at your own analytics can save you a ton of money. Years ago, we used to play with Google AdWords to see what the results are, track the keywords. And, I mean, that's expensive. And especially if you're in a competitive field, it can get very expensive very fast. And a lot of it's lost money. So by looking at your own search results, you're able to have your own keyword tool, understand what's happening with the customer, understand how to readjust everything to cater the message to your customer. And that's hugely important for us. We want a specific kind of customer. For example, we prefer an industrial customer, a government organization, more than, let's say, some other customers. So we're able to cater the message, cater the results to attract those kind of people who are also in the right stage of buying. When we looked at some of our results originally, we saw that people were looking for help as to how does a battery work. That's not really a customer. It is a customer potentially, but not where we need them to be. So we started a blog for that to help them with that and redirect them. So we want the person who's ready to buy, we need them to go through our checkout process and buy the item so they can get it and be happy with it. So there's definitely a lot of work there, and it's definitely amazing to read them every week. We get a report every week. We read them. I see them. I research them. I understand. Some products are interesting that they're looking for them, but I can't help. I don't specialize. I don't understand. So we don't touch those. But some products we're able to work with. Some products we're able to monetize. We're able to move them up and get some really good results. So I highly recommend for everybody to definitely look at their search results and invest in that, because even if you don't spend a lot of more money on marketing or AdWords, internally, by fixing all of that stuff and optimizing it, you can always keep optimizing. You can definitely generate more profitability of the users that you have, increase your conversion rate, and generally have a more satisfied customer and have a better user experience. So having said that, I'll pass to Joe for questions, and if anybody has any questions, please ask.
Great. Well, Thanks, Anton. Thanks, Kevin, for those insights. And as Anton mentioned, we have some time now for questions. If you want to submit a question to Kevin or Anton, you can do so on the console of your on the console. Enter the Q&A box and go ahead and send us your question. So we have some questions here. I'll get started. The first question is in regards to the positioning of the search box, and I guess Kevin and Anton will get both of your thoughts on sort of where are you best practices for positioning of the search box, and specifically how that may differ on a mobile site versus a desktop site.
I guess I'll jump in. That's Kevin. I think the easiest way to think about that is to think about it from the perspective of the industry leaders for products in general, right? So typically like an eBay or an Amazon or a Rakuten or one of those other players, a marketplace player, they tend to put the search pretty prominently underneath the primary navigation, sort of in the certainly above the fold and pretty prominently there at the top. As to the size of the search box and the size of the search button within that search box, probably my guess is, and I haven't done any scientific work on this in particular, my guess is that in similarly to the sort of button sizing research that's done, bigger is always better. But, of course, you have to decide how important search is for your particular site and decide how much screen real estate to allocate to that. But Anton made a good point that it's really critically important to have excellent search and that people like to use it. So my guess is, you know, you probably can't go wrong putting it quite prominently. And again, look at the way Amazon and eBay and some of the other sites that people are already used to using, where they're placing that search in a mobile environment, in a tablet environment, in a desktop environment.
Okay.
I just wanted to add to what Kevin said. I agree with Kevin 100%. I mean, if the marketplace leaders like Amazon, eBay are putting a specific place, there's no need to. I mean, unless you have millions of dollars, there's no need to really to reinvent the wheel. I mean, they do it; it works well, and the search results speak for themselves. So whether you have obviously bigger is a little bit better, but you have to have it there. The customer, I think Kevin even touched on this in his presentation. The customer wants it easier. They don't want to navigate through 17 different categories. They want to come to the site, type it in, and find it. So the search box should definitely be visible.
Okay. We have another question here, and this one's directed for you, Anton. The attendee says that you mentioned creating landing pages for products not in stock. They want to know if you can elaborate on this. Are you simply creating a PDP with content relative to the search terms and featuring site search on that page to capitalize on organic search?
So that's a great question. For me specifically, again, if my, in my search results I found a specific product that's relevant to me, one I understand, one we have expertise in, I'll actually set up a product page for it. The information required, I'll learn about that product. So I'll understand what is it used for, how do you install it, what kind of connections does it have, what kind of capacity, and I'll set it up. And I'll do it in three different ways. One, if I can source it, obviously I'll mark it up a little bit so I can have a little bit of money in case it sells. If I really have no source for it and have to manufacture it, I may even mark it out of stock, but the page will be there. So if the customer comes, if they really need to have this, number one, I'll see them coming. Number two, if they're calling about it, it means that it's something that they really, really need. So there might be more demand, and that'll allow me to develop further and, you know, to either source a supplier or make it or may even be able to outsource it to somebody else, maybe who's more specialized than myself. And by setting up those pages and multiple products, you start getting organic traffic slowly. It's not overnight. It's one of those things where you just have to start. And if you do a couple a day or a couple a week, eventually you start building traffic. And you'll start understanding very quickly that the product you're selling is not the one they're looking for. They came to you because it's similar, but they may be looking for something else. And again, you wouldn't have seen that if you didn't have that test product on the page. So if somebody wants to be really secure, you can either mark it out of stock, or if you found a vendor for it, you can, you know, leave yourself, get a wholesale pricing and mark it up a little bit. Or, you know, we've also at times have taken a loss on certain products just to see what would happen. Are people buying? And once they start buying, we understand what is they're using it for. What are the return rates? how technical is the situation? So there's a lot of stuff you could do just by adding that in there. And again, we only add things that we understand, so we don't randomly start listing Tesla parts. We do things within our industry that we understand that we can support, and that really helps us out a lot. Hope that answers it.
Yeah, thank you. Next one here, attendee wants to know, when you don't have a product and you don't plan on carrying a product on your site, is there a best practice for directing that customer to another content page within your site?
I'll answer that one with a couple. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin. It's yours.
Okay. So, one other thing that you can do is if you think that for those particular products that you don't choose to stock and you don't have a relationship with anybody else to sort of either take the orders on their behalf and have them fulfill it or any of those kinds of options, sometimes, having things in a comparison grid to see if one of your products is a good substitute can be useful, right? Because what that lets you leverage is the model numbers, part numbers, and specifications of the other substitute products to the extent that they differ a little bit from what you might have to offer, and then you can obviously guide the person, sort of create a custom comparison page for that. Or you can, if you think that the kind of visitors for those pages that you create, comparison pages or substitution pages, are going to be valuable customers for you down the road because they're running a data center and they've got a whole bunch of different equipment, and so even if you didn't have what they needed now, you might want to still have them on your email list, then figure out how to merchandise some kind of a carrot on that page that will get the person to sign up for your newsletter list. And then that way, at least you'll be able to, have a relationship with them and maybe talk to them later.
Next question I have here, and this one either of you can probably jump in on, is the attendee wants to know your thoughts on the usefulness of product filter bars.
My thought on it is it's very dependent on the industry category and the extent to which you can easily, get sort of the product filtering functionality to work. Certainly, I've seen some studies that seem to indicate that product filtering is a really great way to allow people to sort of drill down into very specific areas, but I don't think it lends itself to every category, every industry category. In some cases, the filters that you could apply are actually somewhat arbitrary and don't necessarily align with the needs of the particular individual. So, for example, if Anton had a quick connector or whatever they were called as one of the filters in your system to be able to narrow the search down, nobody would use it, right? Because apparently, according to him, nobody cares.
And then the next question I have here, and Anton, this might be a good one for you. You talked a lot about the analytics that you can get from your search data. How frequently are you reviewing that data, and is it by volume, amount of searches, is it a time period? And then also, how frequently then do you put that data into action to make a merchandising change? Is there a testing period that you think you have to wait a certain amount of time? Curious to get your thoughts on that question.
That's a great question. Generally, I try to review them once a week. Sometimes they fall behind, but reviewing your search results and the analytics is one of those things you could do that's free, and you don't have to invest time in it just to review it. It's already there, so you can get a lot of knowledge from it. So definitely the more often, the better, and not necessarily do I always look for the product that I most search for. Sometimes you can find a product that, again, is not offered on your site or on my site, and maybe a few people are looking for it, but why are they looking for it? Why didn't Google serve them a result where they were able to find it? So there must be a reason that they're looking for it. So we found gems, wonderful products, just by looking further down the list, seeing a few queries, realizing that this product, number one, it could be high margin or within the range where we need to operate, and we start developing that. So I'll just take it and I'll say, this is really interesting. This is for a floor sweeping machine, so there must be a lot of floor sweepers. They need batteries. We make the battery. So we'll start looking into that. Maybe we'll develop a section for floor sweepers. we'll start sort of digging deeper into that. There's no cost to that part other than my time, for example, or time here at the office, but actual capital investment of manufacturing or purchasing products. So once we build a little section, we start seeing what comes in. And again, some products we find that are low in the search results may be more suitable for another marketplace. So I definitely look at the stuff that's on the top and the stuff at the bottom. We were a small site. We're not that important. How did they get to us? Why are they searching for it here? And there's a lot of knowledge there for sure. Hope that answers that.
Next question here, and this one might be a good one. Both of you probably can comment on this one, but any examples of best practices of utilizing that site search data that you're collecting and putting it into practice for your SEO efforts?
You can go ahead first, Anton.
Sure. So I think even Kevin touched in one of his slides mentioned about, you know, sort of giving up on SEO and focusing on content. And you know, years ago, I mean, so popular, the SEO market is obviously so developed, I found that there's really no shortcuts. There's just no shortcuts. I mean, you can try and focus on SEO, and I'm sure some guys or some people are very, very good at it and will get results. But really, if you want long-term value and you're building a business and it's e-commerce, you need to focus on content, product, and customer experience. On one hand, you have the making of the sale, which is a hurdle, a huge challenge, a mountain that you need to do. So you need to overcome that. They need to buy it. But then there's also support and warranties and emails and technical questions and shipping and all this other stuff that has to happen behind it. So it's definitely worth investing in good content, which will naturally, I'm sure, help with SEO. And again, I'm not that aggressive in SEO. I think that, you know, just investing in content, product, and experience is sort of more important than trying to buy links or build links or do any tactics. I think the long-term vision, I think, pays off more in the long run versus a quick hit and then getting punished and everything that happens in between. So definitely content and product focus is more important, in my opinion, than just straightforward SEO.
Sure. I guess the comment I would make is sometimes search result data that you get from your internal site search might indicate that certain types of content would be important to your target audience. And so one of the things that I generally recommend to my SEO clients is that you don't just think exclusively about the product that you've got and the products that you have, but also think about, is there a kind of content that would be of such high level of interest to your target audience that people would be, A, interested in reading it, and B, might actually also link to it. So, you know, think about the audience you're looking at. So if it's the audience is people who manage data centers or IT professionals or whatever, you can also, if you've got a way to create inexpensive content that would appeal to them, you know, and you can create it fairly reasonably priced, that might be an interesting SEO strategy to use, especially if the site-side search data reinforces that. So, for example, if there are, you know, 5 tips to extending battery life for UPSs, that would be like really useful to know. Even if I'm not in market for batteries now and I already have batteries in all my UPSs, I want to extend the battery life. Of course, they'll eventually fail and then I'll have to call Anton, but it would be a useful article to write and maybe it might get picked up by an industry trade publication or linked to or whatever. And that's just sort of part of good SEO.
The next one I have here is in regards to filters for products on SERPs, and specifically for some of the long-tail search terms. Do you have any recommendations, best practices, on what to make your sort of your default filter, or is it price? Is it, you know, your best-selling products, your rating, customer ratings? Your thoughts on your filters for long-tail search terms?
Yeah, I don't have any. I would say experiment with it because, you know, it may be different for different kinds of long tail search items. Some kinds of, you know, there's usually some kind of a root phrase or word in the long tail, right? So people could type in men's size 12 steel-toed leather work boots extra wide, right? But there are some core words in there that are more important than the other words. And so it's not so much long tail versus short tail or the head of the tail, the head of the search distribution. It's really more about, are there certain core words that are in that in that overall search query that can lead you to understand how you can best meet the needs of that specific user. So if certain kinds of batteries are for very price-sensitive people, you may choose to sort by price. But in other cases, it, you know, there may be other factors which are more important, and popularity may be better, or you know, longevity, or whatever other data point you have.
I would add to Kevin's point on that, that's absolutely true. It all depends on the industry and what kind of product you're selling. For me specifically, I don't particularly like filters because sorting by price on a specific battery is not going to help you because you need something for a specific application. So that's not going to do you any good. You know, so you sort for the cheapest battery, great, but that's not going to help you because it's not going to go into your golf cart. So, again, I think it also comes down to the search. People are expecting search to work. So when they come into the site, even, you know, if you go to Amazon, they're not filtering. I'm guessing not everybody's filtering. They're just typing in the search and expect to see the right result. So I think search is more important than ever in that way. So filtering, it's possible, and we've tried it before, but getting the right result to the customer and minimizing excess results that are useless is probably more important, I think, than just filtering by price or that kind of stuff.
Okay, great. Well, unfortunately, we're just about out of time. We've covered quite a bit of ground on site search, so I want to take this opportunity first to thank Kevin Lee and Anton Kramoff for their time today. And also on behalf of Total Retail and SwiftType, I want to thank you, the audience, for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. Lastly, if you would take just a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we would very much appreciate it. Your feedback will influence the webinars Total Retail brings to you in the future. And lastly, so I hope to see you at the next Total Retail webinar. Thank you, everyone, and have a good afternoon.